Yet to say that God does not bless his people materially for their good is wrong as well. From the very beginning of Israel's calling as a nation, God promises that he will bless them both spiritually and physically, yet we learn that this blessing is given so that they can in turn be a blessing to others. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Blessed to be a blessing to others. In fact, God blesses each one of the patriarchs with a substantial amount of wealth. We read of Abraham in Genesis 24:25, "The Lord has greatly blessed my master, that is Abraham, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys." Of Isaac, we read in Genesis 26:12-13, "And Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy." And of Jacob, the Torah says in Genesis 30:43, "Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys." Hashem desired to bless Israel, and he even does this as they leave Egypt by dispatching the Egyptians favorably to them so that they give Israel their silver and gold. The people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. But no more quickly do we see an example of wealth becoming evil than with the golden calf. The very finery that Hashem had blessed Israel with from Egypt was now used to create an idolatrous calf. One of the vehicles that Hashem uses to teach the children of Israel about the dangers of hoarding and materialism is the manna in the wilderness. Hashem tells Israel in Exodus 16:16, "Gather of it, each one of you, as much as you can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left, and whoever gathered little had no lack. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. No matter how much they thought they were gathering, they always ended up with the same amount. And if they became anxious and thought, "What if the manna is not there for us tomorrow?" and hence they saved some until the morning, it became spoiled. Once again, God is not teaching capitalism, but rather he desires to create a society that shares with one another while at the same time is completely dependent on him. This is why the Master tells us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." You can imagine that after just a few weeks of the manna, the Israelites would grow tired of the same old thing every day. Indeed, we read later in the Torah that they did, and they would complain about it. It is so difficult for us to find contentment in the simple provision that God gives us. We seem to always be itching for something bigger and better. But from the very inception of Israel's history, their loving Heavenly Father was always trying to teach them something different, to find peace and solace in what God had provided. The Shema, beginning with Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," is the central creed of the Jewish faith, and we find in the Gospels that Yeshua declares it as one of the two greatest commandments. It also contains an important lesson for us on the value of generosity. The second line of the Shema Creed, Deuteronomy 6:5, reads, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Loving God has been divided up into three categories: with all one's heart, soul, and might. While we ourselves might be inclined to see all three aspects in ethereal, non-tangible forms, The sages, on the other hand, break these categories down and explain what each separate area means. The Mishnah in Tractate Brachot states, "With all your heart means with your two impulses, the evil impulse as well as the good impulse. With all your soul means even though he takes your soul, life. With all your might means with all your money." Loving him with all your heart essentially means with your inclinations, both our good ones and our bad ones, by curbing them for good. Soul in Hebrew here is the word nefesh, which can mean life. Loving God with all our soul means loving him even to the point of death or martyrdom. Yet perhaps one of the most difficult things for us to do is this last area of love, our strength. Here the Hebrew word is me'od, which can mean strength, property, and wealth. God requires of us that we love him even enough to give up all of our worldly possessions. How many of us are really ready to do that? God has not placed us on this earth to store up treasures in this present world, but in the world to come. We often forget how difficult and devastating this sin of materialism and greed can be. I think we can learn a valuable lesson from the city of Sodom. It's easy for us to feel good about their destruction when we think that a sexual misconduct was the source of their punishment. But let's ask, what really was the sin of Sodom that caused it to deserve total destruction? The prophet Ezekiel tells us in chapter 16, verse 19, "Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, and did not aid the poor and needy." Sodom's sin was that they were blessed with abundance, but yet did not share that blessing to bless others in need. Greed and hoarding are serious offenses that Hashem does not turn a blind eye to. Besides the Shema, there are many other mitzvot that teach us about the proper use of our possessions and curb the spirit of greed. For example, the final commandment of the Ten Commandments is, "You shall not covet." Remarkably, it is the only real internal commandment of the Ten. Every other commandment can be punished by a court of law because the transgression is both visible and measurable. Yet with coveting, this sin goes on in an individual's heart. God places discontent with our lot in life right up there with idolatry and murder.